Hello and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, in this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Gavin Bobby, the Mosque Buster.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. So, tell us about your work, because you're doing some sterling work out there. And for those who don't already know you, what is it that you're applying yourself to, sir?
Well, I'm very flattered to be nicknamed the Mosque Buster. What I do is I stop mosques gaining planning permission. So if you have a planning application to create a new mosque in your neighbourhood, contact me and I'll jump on it to stop it. And what I do is I respond to requests from local people, local neighbourhoods. Can you stop this mosque getting set up in our neighbourhood? And believe me, I have never met anyone who wants a mosque in the neighbourhood. Doesn't matter how liberal left you are, you don't want it there. And that's what I do. And it's very satisfying. You feel like James Bond for half a day if you achieve it. So that's what I do.
Well, I want to ask you about your track record on this and how you're doing and stuff. But the first thing probably ask is, well, why don't you want a mosque in your area? I mean, does it not bring sort of, religious harmony to an area?
Yeah, vibrant diversity, wonderful takeaway, fluffy bunny heaven. No, well, what I talk about is the four stages of Islamization of a neighbourhood, if I can remember. The first stage, that's the parking jihad. Now, as jihad goes, that's not the worst form of jihad, but it is still really annoying and it's aggressive. That's whilst the service is on, this is our area now and we're going to dominate it through our parking. And that means parking in front of your driveway. That means parking inside your property, on your driveway. That means preventing you going out to the supermarket.
So if a service is on, they would just pull onto your driveway and park there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
Blocking you in?
Oh, yeah. And no self-respecting meter maid will dish out tickets to mosque-goers whilst there's a mosque service going on.
I only need to park slightly over the line and I'm slapped with an 80 quid ticket.
Yep.
But they don't ticket cars.
I have never heard of that, no. And what I've been told time and time again by local neighbourhoods is you never see a meter maid around this area because they know what's good for them. It's not worth it.
Well, yes, I suppose, because if you get caught...
You get your head kicked in.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
if you get caught, then they're probably going to respond fairly vigorously.
Well, they'll kick your head in. I mean, they're not going to tolerate you putting parking tickets on the cars of mosque worshippers. They won't tolerate. They're not going to tolerate that. And probably, I suspect, I don't know, there's no way of finding out. I suspect there might be some memos from on high that go down saying, go easy, but I don't know that.
Well, I think it's fair to say that if they covered up grooming gangs, they're willing to cover up parking.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that's a safe bet.
Yes. Yeah. What are the other stages?
So that's the first stage. The second stage is, the second stage is F you, madam, this is our area now. And that's because when you're
getting
wife,
a bit more confrontational and in your face.
Yeah. So your wife goes out and said, would you mind moving your car, please, so I can go to the supermarket? F you, madam, this is our area now. The third stage is what I call the plastic bag stage. And that's quite intimidating. That's where you get about two or three Muslim men turning up on your doorstep with a plastic bag with some cash in it, saying, sell your house to us. And they make a derisory offer. Normally, what I've heard people telling me is about one third of the market price. They might throw in something like a cruise. I say, give us your house and we'll give you a third of the price, plus a cruise. We'll give you a third of the price, plus a fancy holiday in a hotel, that kind of thing. And when people say, no, it's not for sale, I've lived here all my life, and I wouldn't sell for that amount of money, what they are told is, no white person will buy this place off you. And that was one of the things that motivated me to start doing this. I had in my day job dealing with planning permissions, I had a nice family, a client. They had a house with a plot or garden either side. I got them planning permission for another house on one side and a third house on the other side. And then one of them telephoned me quite embarrassed and said, if we sell one, it'll be bought up by Muslims and they will stuff it with, what he said, illegal immigrants. And their job will be to make life impossible for everyone else. And we'll have to sell the other two for a song, because they won't sell to anyone else. So, and the line is, no white person will buy this place from you because you're among Muslims. And so that's the third stage.
And, well, and then presumably the authorities, they just don't engage with this at all.
Well, no, you go to the police, they do not want to know, because all the police will say is, so someone turned up on your doorstep and made an offer for your house. There's no crime here. That's what they'll say. But, I mean, the subtext is Muslim, burly Muslim men turning up on the doorstep. Often, they're not shy of doing it to the little old lady who's lived there all her life, inherited it from her parents. And it is intimidating. And if she comes to me saying, what do I do? I just say, sell, put it on the market and get out quick. It's only going to get worse, which is unfortunate. But that's the situation we're in. The fourth stage after that, if she says, no, I'm staying here, is the what I call, there is no reason to presume there is any racial element to this crime, madam, because that's what the police say to you. So you get your broadband cable cut, you get your gatepost knocked over, or a window gets broken, or something nasty comes through your letterbox. You go to the police and they say, there is no reason to assume there's a racial element to this crime, madam, because they don't want to tangle. And people at that stage, even the bravest people move, because, I mean, if you're coming home, you don't know what's going to be through your letterbox whilst you were out. It gets pretty wearing. So it's not a picnic. Now, that happens over quite a long period. The parking jihad happens immediately. As soon as you get a mosque, you'll get the parking jihad. That's territorial. Mm. That's like a tramp urinating on his park bench. That's saying, this is our area. And also, F off, missus, this is our area now. That second stage, that comes pretty fast as well. But it takes quite a while to develop from stage two to stage three. But it will happen. It's written into the Islamic code. And that's what you're facing.
Okay, so, I mean, that seems pretty blatant. It is just a question of just taking over the area.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's territorial.
And this happens all the time. I mean, this happens every mosque, does it?
Yeah, a mosque is there to establish territory. That's its problem. Yes. Its primary purpose. I mean, every mosque is supposed to be based on the original mosque at Medina, so not Mecca. Muhammad goes to Mecca, can't get up his dictatorship, does a retreat to Medina, yes. Gets up his dictatorship there, forms the first mosque there, and then goes back and conquers Mecca. And that first mosque in Medina, that was really for blessing armies, sending them to war, conducting war strategy, negotiating treaties, far more about politics and military matters than about contemplation of the divine. And that is what mosques are today. Their primary purpose is fortress for establishing territory. A bit like Henry VIII building a fortress
in Wales.
It's
a modern-day castle.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right. And the authorities just don't want to touch any of it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They don't want to tangle. Perhaps I can get on to how they respond later when the British people, ethnic British people, get up on their hind legs. But their view is, the view of politicians, view being a politician as a business, their view is, don't tangle with the Muslims. They're always complaining. Give them what they want. Get them to go away. You can't win with them. And so they tend to give them what they want. So they're just not going to get involved. So you have to turn the tables on them to use that cowardice against them, which can be done.
Well, I can only imagine that if this happens every time, that once or twice exactly what you just suggested, there must have happened. There must have been an equal and opposite reaction from the native population. And presumably at that point, the constabulary do deign to get involved.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
No. Really?
No. In general, I think that will start to that's going to start to change. In general, the quality of opposition on our own side is very low, or has been very, very low. So the most you might get is a drunken... I saw the English Defence League would occasionally conduct a demo outside a mosque once it had gained planning permission, which is a bit like saying, give us a condom, the baby's been born. You know? So, but that's... it never came to anything. Once or twice I've seen council meetings where you get quite a few quite drunk people really irritated about it. But it doesn't come to anything because the councillors know how to talk those people down because they're paid to do that. So, so far, it doesn't come to fisticuffs.
No. Okay.
The little old lady, she moves out eventually. She probably takes the offer. It's very cruel. And she is the roadkill of our collective cowardice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the only effective way is to stop it before it gets planning permission. That should be a new expense.
Yeah. Realistically, yeah.
Right.
And it can be done.
And you've been doing this since 2010. And you've actually, I imagine, had quite a string of successes, which I'm kind of astonished about, because I wouldn't expect you to win any of these. But somehow you do.
Yeah, I've lost. I think I've fought about 105, something like that. Maybe a few more. I think my win rate is about 60, a bit over 60, maybe 65% at the moment.
So you have stopped something like 60 to 70 mosques being built.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I have. I'm proud of that. Yeah, and when I first started, I think it was the first I did 13 before I lost one. So, I suspect that's because they weren't. I had the element of surprise.
So I mean, not wanting to drop too much into the jargon and the ifs and buts of planning, but I mean, briefly in layman's terms, how do you stop them?
The bedrock for the case is to get up a local opposition to the application. So you need to get as many local people as possible within the area to write to the council objecting to the application. And it's really, it's done on the basis of the hypocritical technical planning legal code. So we are concerned about parking. We're concerned about noise and disturbance, amenity for the area. You don't mention religion or race. You don't mention what happens when there's a mosque in your area. What you talk about is the effects on planning amenity, and
so bureaucratic.
Yeah, but it works. So when the fast way to lose is to go on about religion. If you do that, you've lost. You'll lose. So you talk through the planning legal code, and you need to get as many local people to do that as possible. If you can get them to do that, those politicians who are in it as a business, I know my mum was a councillor who chaired the local planning committee. Mm. Before that, my granddad was the councillor who chaired the local planning committee. And I've seen the calibre of councillors get worse and worse and worse. They are, I think, very, very poor indeed. If I was a psychopath, I'd be a councillor. I'd aim to clear 30 grand a year doing 2 hours a day. I'd fiddle the expenses and I'd fail to turn up at meetings. I reckon I can do it. And that's not bad. Like, if you're retired, that's a nice income. You get a few bun fights, fancy handle.
Yeah, certainly tops up the pension.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And people will pay you, I don't know why, but people will pay you respect, maybe because they want something off you.
So it's effectively, you just got to, they expect that they're going to get hassle from the Muslims if they don't approve it.
Yeah.
You just need to show there's more hassle on the other side, and and inevitably they will take the easy life option.
Yeah, that's right. They will. And you can see them changing once they realise that Whitey is up on his hind legs. So your local British population, when they start objecting, those councillors will switch. And you see it at council meetings. So the debate goes round and round in a circle like that, round and round. And it will start off by saying, it's about community, it's about family, it's about diversity, it's about tolerance. And as they realise the number of objections, you can see these councillors starting to say, gosh, I do like community, but parking is a bit of a problem around here. I went shopping around there, and then as it goes round and round, those objections. Oh, what about local amenity? And there might be noise from this mosque, and I'm not sure this is the right building. It would be a shame to change.
I mean, such a bizarre series of parochial concerns against the actual issue. But if it works, I guess it works.
Yeah, it's code. It's code. It's nonsense.
Can you bring in the other stuff? So can you say, look, here's the last 50 mosques that have been built, and this is exactly what happens to parking, and it's aggressive? Or can you not mention the aggressive bit? Can you not imply that there's anything deliberate about this?
In general, in the past, that is the fast way to lose, if you try to use that as an argument, because it gives the council the pretext to say, you're a bunch of bigots, you're only against them because they're Muslims. Yes, of course. You're only against it because it's a mosque. Mm. Therefore, all of this opposition has been whipped up. And you tend to get that Britain First, I've noticed them all in two campaigns I observed that they got involved in. They kind of took that line, and I was working on these ones, and Britain First getting involved meant the mosque. I think their involvement meant the mosque got planning permission. and because they mishandled it, because they didn't really know what they were doing, I think. And if you talk like that, you're probably going to lose. What I used to do at the beginning was I'd slip in a little nugget about that just at the end of my little 3-minute harangue to the councillors. So I might say, you can't do this by law because of the nature of Islamic doctrine. So what I used to say at the beginning is, if you do this, this is ultra vires your powers. You can no more grant planning permission for a mosque than you can grant planning permission to me to set up a child brothel or a chop shop for selling stolen cars. That's outside your powers because of the violent, unlawful nature of Islamic doctrine. So, and if you do that, you then become personally liable and you can be sued in your individual capacity. Now, that's the kind of fire-breathing talk I'd like to talk, basically saying, I'm going to get every asset off you. I'll take your house off you. And then when you get up on your feet, I'll take it off you.
Oh, I like that.
I'd like to say that to them. Mm. But I think that time will come. But if you do that now, they won't feel sufficiently threatened to go along with it. They'll still grant planning permission. But that time's coming. That time's coming.
If you'd like to see the full version of this premium video, please head over to lotuseaters.com and subscribe to gain full access to all of our premium content.